numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Wes Reynolds joins us to talk U.S. Open, how his thoughts on his Rory and Ricky bets went down. Did he ever feel like he was going to win? Obviously, it didn't happen that way in the end, but did he feel like he had a shot? I don't know that. I never felt like Rory was ever going to get it done. And in the end, he loses by one stroke. Never quite made the charge he needed to. We'll talk to Wes. Do we have Wes's More today as well? Do we want to do that?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Rapid fire Wes's More. Everything on Wes's mind, sports betting-wise, and maybe perhaps beyond that. Oh, and another thing happened when I was gone, besides the Vegas Golden Knights winning the Stanley Cup. Apparently there was a UFO and there were aliens here in Las Vegas, so I think I really have to talk about that.
Really wasn't just UFO, just aliens straight up in someone's backyard.
Aliens, yeah, no. 8 feet, 9 feet tall, no biggie.
I was laughing when Gil texted me about it after like 4 days after it hit the national headlines.
I had
headlines.
No idea.
It's like, this is how you know when someone's on vacation.
Yeah, I was like, what did I miss? Oh, my God. Got to talk about that. And we'll talk college baseball momentarily with Brad Porras. We do get tweets at Biddy the Book, though. We always appreciate the feedback on everything that we talk about. Marv B, Moneyline M, he said, hey, sports trade. I guess he could also say this about profit exchange, but you're talking about the exchanges. He's like, oh, he called me a legend. He said, the legend, Gil. Wow, thank you. Goodness. Not that.
But he said, he's a pioneer, not a legend.
Yeah, a pioneer, not a legend. Dr. Bob's like, Dr. Bob
no,
somewhere.
It was the other way around. Yeah,
Dr.
Yeah.
Bob hated being called a pioneer. He said, Gil just discussed a great idea for golf betting. Would love to see if you guys could offer it. Exchanges in New Jersey and beyond. Well, I'm talking about the stock exchange. Not my idea. Been done offshore, but it should be brought back. Let's overcome the technology hurdles. Exchanges, we're leaning on you. Jason H11, welcome back, Gil. We missed you. By the way, what's the name of that sushi place? Asking for a friend. Michael Lafon, golf is great to bet on. When you bet on two-player golf match, it's like you're playing yourself. What ruins it for me are the 30-cent betting lines you have to deal with in golf matches. Books collude doing this, and it ruins for me. He thinks the books are colluding. Xavier, 82. Damn Xavier, 82. Morning and welcome back, Gil. I feel you on those dead heat rules. Negative money, L. Ugh. I had two golfers, top 40, Eric Cole and Siwoo Kim, and they were locks after 2 days. And then, well, round four happened. And he goes, speaking of that, after diminishing...
Siwoo,
really, I know.
I had a top 20 on him. I feel you, brother.
Speaking of the U.S. Open and diminishing returns on our outrights... he's talking about Ricky. Who can you no longer, after three majors, not bet on to win the upcoming British Open outright? It's kind of what I was getting at with Kelly earlier. Like, who just you cannot trust as an outright? There's a long list. A long list. I would say Xander is top of that. Like, I just, until it happens, you're never getting an outright bet from me. But there's others. Kelly's just staring. He's like, nope, I'll keep doing it.
I mean, he's won three times in the past year.
I'll keep doing it. Talking about a major.
Stringfellow
Hall.
Wyndham Clark had a really great major record headed into this one.
Yeah, but Xander has... Xander is the pretender over and over and over and over and
sure.
over and over.
I get it.
Yeah. Stringfellow Hawk, welcome back. Also, while you were gone, the state of North Carolina has joined the legal sports wagering space.
Yeah.
No more driving to Virginia. Congratulations, North Carolina. And then Joe Nigro, congrats to Matt Brown on Wyndham Clark win. Maybe he can now buy a pair of field goal kicking shoes. You said it. Let's talk some college baseball. The College World Series is here. Five of the first six College World Series games have ended in one-run affairs. We bring in Bradley Porras, former ball player at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. How you doing, Brad?
What's going on, Gil? What's going on, man? Hey, aliens come in. Kelly, have you ever seen Gil and an alien in the same room at the same time?
No, I haven't.
Interesting. It's a good point.
I'm just saying.
Very good point. Hey, you know, so by the way, that's true. What else is true is that all of my college baseball futures are donezo. Donezo.
Done.
And I guess the macro question is this a year where it's just Chalk McChalkerson and Wake just takes it?
I don't know if Wake takes it, but definitely Chalk McChalkerson. I mean, yes, oral, great story. I mean, some people hopped on. Like, I even said it before the regionals. I was like, hey, if you want to go super long shot, Oral Roberts can definitely win this regional. And then anything can happen. You know, TCU gets hot, but I don't think either one of them are winning it. It's super chalky, which is disappointing whenever you like to play the long shot, you know, teams to really get on it. And the books didn't really get egregious by sending any team like Tennessee, right? They never really vaulted Tennessee up to like 80, 90, 100 to 1, whenever they very well could have, because they were a couple games from just being done themselves at some point in the year. So they, I think they learned their lesson maybe a little bit last year.
Do you have any futures left? Any of yours?
No.
You're done too?
None. Okay. None. I'm done. And the only thing you could maybe talk me into trying to get on would be Tennessee at this point. You know, I think they can win today. I do like them to win today. I think they beat Stanford. I'm not going to sit here and be a straight hater on the Pac-12, but I, you know, Quinn Mathews has thrown a ton of pitches over the past, you know, week, just to get them to this point. Chase Dillander has looked really good in his past couple outings. I think they get it done today. And then if Wake does take care of LSU, I mean, I like anything, any of these really good Wake team, a good solid, you know, Tennessee against an LSU bullpen and LSU secondary starters past Paul Skeen. So if you got to get me on something, it would be Tennessee at the, you know, 25, 30 to one range.
Yeah, let's talk about these one by one. So again, with the College World Series bracket, just sort of, if people aren't watching this, then it's tough to sort of talk your way through it. But essentially, the first part of the College World Series bracket is double elimination. And then when you get to the finals, it's a best of three. So what you have now is Florida has moved on to sort of wait for their next opponent. Florida's in good position on their side of the bracket. But what we have today is we have, and by the way, Virginia was eliminated in an elimination game yesterday because that was their second loss. So they're done. So we have an elimination game to start today as well, and that is the Stanford-Tennessee game. You said you think Tennessee is winning that.
I do, just because, again, Dolander has looked a lot better. Tennessee's played with their back against the wall a lot at the, you know, throughout this entire postseason, even at some points during the season. They played with their back against the wall, and they've always come out swinging. I think they do it again today.
Okay, and then the next game is the Wake Forest-LSU game. And again, like the Florida Oral Roberts game yesterday, again, this is tough to explain. The winner moves to the next sort of position in the bracket. They don't move to the next round quite yet, but they mm-hmm. do get into a favorable spot. Wake Forest is as low as minus 165 in some places, and you do such a great job of this. This is what got us Ole Miss last year. This is what got us to the promised land as a 100-1. And even though we're not going to have that this year, there may not be an Ole Miss period this year. But Wake, you just mentioned it. The pitching difference is so stark with what LSU has to go here and what Wake is available with, or Wake has available to them, that is minus 165 high enough.
LSU's hitting. Their offense has really come on. I think people aren't giving LSU enough credit for how well they have been playing at this point in the year, too. I think we've kind of thought of them as an afterthought to some degrees, of just kind of dismissing them as like, oh, you know, they're supposed to be number one, but they really haven't quite been good enough. They're hitting. Again, SEC snobbery. And then is the ACC really that good? Virginia just got put out by TCU. You know, I think LSU's live. I wouldn't lay it with Wake. I wouldn't. I know that LSU's starting pitching hasn't been great past Paul Skeens this year, but they've looked a little better lately, and their hitting has come on. So I personally, if, you know, John Morant, gun to my head, it's LSU as a dog. I'm not laying it with Wake because it wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me if LSU comes out and wins, but I don't know. I wouldn't play either side.
Okay. You wouldn't play either side, but you would play Tennessee in the first game against Stanford or no?
Yes. I'd lay it with Tennessee. Okay. I'd lay it with it. Yeah, I would lay it with
Tennessee minus 145 in the elimination game against Stanford. That's a 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific start. And then tomorrow we have a elimination game. And this is really, when you talk about Cinderella, this is sort of Cinderella's last gasp. One of these two teams will be eliminated. TCU is a minus 160 favorite against Oral Roberts, which, oh boy, they have had quite the run here. But you were even saying, this is the one thing we were talking about off air, which is, I mean, there's some people out there that have Oral Roberts 500 to one tickets. But your position with them has always been, and you'll tell me if I'm characterizing this incorrectly, like anybody who actually thinks they were winning at all, you just feel like there's no real justification for that.
Yeah, I don't see them being deep enough. Are they good enough to get to this point? Yeah, for sure. They're an old team. They play hard. Lots of seniors. In college baseball, like it pays to be old lots of times. These old teams really do play much better. They're an old team. They're a solid ball club. I could see them winning these games, but they're getting to the point, I think, where, and obviously we saw it where they just lost, but like, it's Chalky McChalkerson, right? That's the teams they're going up against. It's not like it's a whole bunch of dogs that they're having to go against. They're going to have to take down a bunch of really good teams. TCU, one of the hottest teams. Florida, they got to beat them twice. And then they got to win 2 out of 3 against, what, Wake Forest or LSU with Paul Skeens or Tennessee, who's pitching much better. I think there's just too many wins they got to get against too many good teams. It's just so chalky. I think it's too hard for them to actually put it together.
Is there a play tomorrow, TCU, -160, Oral Roberts, +130 coming back?
Me personally, no, there's not. Because you said it, right? All these games have been like one-run games. It's been phenomenal entertainment. I've loved to watch it. But if you're going to make me have to pick a game, I'm just going to have to pick the dog.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to pick the dog because these games go back and forth. And anybody, and I've heard you talk about, we've talked about, like, if anybody is actually sitting here telling you, oh, I knew this was going to happen, or this or that, like, yeah, right. Like, these games go back and forth and back and forth, and it's a one-run game.
But you,
and it's like, man, like...
You make the biggest point there, which is, from an entertainment standpoint, these games are awesome. From a betting standpoint, game by game, it ain't really a great betting vehicle game by game at this point. It's sort of like you said, if your fallback is, hey, dog or nothing, that's not really... the greatest betting vehicle. But if you set a future at this point, if you had to pay one, it's Tennessee, 28-1. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. No problem, Gil.
Brad Porras, at Brad Porras, P-O-R-R-A-S, Brad Lee Porras, on Twitter. We'll come back. NBA Draft Talk next.
The Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits. Yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. The NBA draft is Thursday. We have much to say about the NBA draft. But before we do this, Kelly, so on April 30th, around 11:50 p.m., a Las Vegas Metro police officer's body camera video recorded as something streaked low across the sky. Several people across Eastern California, Nevada, and Utah reported seeing the flash, according to the American Meteor Society. About 40 minutes later, a young man called 911 saying he and his family saw something fall from the sky and that there were two moving things in the Northwest Valley backyard. Here's the quote. Quote, there's like an 8-foot person beside it and another one is inside us. Inside us.
It's crazy.
And it has big eyes and it's looking at us and it's still there, the caller told the dispatcher around 12:30 a.m. on May 1st. They're like 8 foot, 9 feet, 10 foot. I love the fact that he was so nervous that it was like foot, feet, foot. They look like aliens to us. Big eyes. They have big eyes like I can't explain it. And big mouth. They're shiny eyes and they're human. They're 100% not human. He's saying he just keeps contradicting himself. Now, this from Kelly Bidlin. When I sent this to him, I'm like, what is going on? He says, Gil, apparently on video, there's a cop. Well, you just tell us. What did you say?
There's body cam footage out there, and there's like, I mean, like, there's a cop who's like legit freaked out about this. I don't understand how we have. Like, oh man, I'm gonna sound like the crazy person here now. Like, no, do I really think there's an alien out there in someone's backyard here in the Vegas Valley? No, I don't. I don't. Okay.
You sure?
Do I think though it's a little odd that we have that there's a police officer freaking out about it, like on body cam footage, and multiple eyewitnesses agreeing with it, and then we don't hear about this stuff ever again?
That's the part.
Yes, I think that part's a little weird. When I text you, where you at, Oprah? Isn't this like the story of a lifetime? Aliens just landed in your backyard.
Where you at, Oprah?
Where you at? Like, what are the feds are shutting these people down? You're not allowed to talk? And then conveniently, Gil, follow up to this story.
Yeah.
There are cameras on top of this house now, apparently, that the Las Vegas Police Department are saying, oh, that's regular, normal procedure when apparently it's not at all. Like, it is not normal procedure at all for them to put cameras up on someone's house like this.
The quote is fantastic.
It's amazing.
8 foot, 9 feet, 10 foot.
I don't know if it was that guy or another guy who was talking about it looking into his eyes. And
no, this guy says, he goes, they're inside of us.
Right, it was something about like paralyzing him, right? He's like, I couldn't move or speak or think while he looked at me.
They're human. They're 100% not human. That's so great. So just a couple things. One, and I know there's a video out there that's a hoax, but how is it that nobody has things to get their camera at these moments and snap a photo?
That's the first thing. Good counterpoint, Gil.
And then I just want to say this. I always with UFOs, right? Because even my dad used to always say, he goes, you really think there's nothing out there? He was a level-headed guy. But even he like allowed for the possibility. So I always said in life, I go, you know what? I'm not going to believe in UFOs or aliens until someone that I know, someone that I trust, tells me that they had an experience with
right.
it. So guess what? My ex-father-in-law, okay, while I was married, he used to play for the Skins. The Skins used to play at Redskin Park, or the Skins used to practice at a park in Virginia by Dulles Airport. In those days, in the 70s, it was hella remote. Like, it was super remote. You had to drive down this access road for days. Now it's populated with buildings, but you had to go for hours before you got there, and there was nothing. He says one night he was driving back home and he saw in his rearview mirror, he's by himself, this light. He said the light then, from being way behind him, swooped in like a split second to where it was right on top of him, and then just as quickly swooped away. So I always said, until I meet someone I know or trust, I'm not going to believe this. And then he told me, and you know what my reaction was? I was like, he's crazy. I was like, there's no way.
If you go down the rabbit hole of this story, you're like, this is a little scary. Like, I'm a little freaked out. And then you sit back for 3 minutes, you're like, I don't believe any of this. Everybody's crazy.
Oh, it's fascinating. Hey. Whoa, what did I? By the way, there's global odds on these.
Oh, that's right. Wagering on the internet has odds.
Wagering on the internet. Which country will be invaded by aliens first? And we are the short shot along with Russia.
USA. Well, I mean, there is only a UFO video that comes out of Russia like every other day. What you just described, there's some dash cam video because every person in Russia has a dash cam camera because like insurance companies like don't exist over there.
Basically. By the way, North Korea is absolutely the bet because he'll claim that it happened anyway.
I was thinking that when 14 to 1. Yeah. I think we have odds on who will be abducted too. We weren't listed.
That's true. We were not on there?
Yeah, we weren't listed. Donald Trump, your short shot.
That's so random. Gigi Hadid at 25 to 1. Why is she on there? Why is she randomly on there? That's awesome.
I got to give the crew credit. I think it was Isaiah making this joke. Isaiah or Matt, someone downstairs with the great joke of why isn't Victor Wembanyama on here? All we've been talking about is if Victor Wembanyama got abducted by aliens, we would still draft him number one. I've heard that quote like three times over the past 2 weeks.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Victor Wembanyama is in fact an alien. That's what I thought you were going to say. Speaking of the draft, we know Victor's going first. That we know. It's minus a bajillion.
Even if the aliens take him.
That's right. But we have intrigue at number two. Michael Jordan, who has sold the Hornets, sitting in on a new meeting where they're evaluating both Scoot and Brandon Miller. Scoot used to be the big, big favorite to be number two. Then it got really kind of a coin flip. Now Scoot's back up to minus 150. What do you have in pocket on this?
Oh, boy, a lot. I have Brandon Miller at 8 to 1 to go number two. Scoot Henderson plus 550 to go number three. I did come back late last week and do a little Scoot Henderson at plus 160 to go number two to buy off my position a bit with all this going on. And then Cam Whitmore to go number five at plus 270. But yeah, today, that story today, is that not weird? And I guess it screams to me smokescreen, but I don't know in which direction. So today, reportedly, the Hornets are having Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson back for additional workouts that Michael Jordan is going to be present at.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan, who just recently sold his majority stake in the team, still will have a minority stake in the team. He's still Michael Jordan. I think the idea of Michael Jordan being at a workout isn't crazy. But the fact that they've asked these guys to come back for workouts, you're telling me the draft is in 4 days? Kind of like we always talked about with the NFL draft, right? The draft is in 4 days and you don't really know who's better or who you want to take? I don't know if I believe that.
Well, and then there's the added intrigue of a trade.
Yes. The Pelicans.
So the Pelicans, if they're trading to two, you believe it's for Scoot?
Well, everything there, that all the reports out there are that the Pelicans are extremely interested in Scoot Henderson.
Yes. So that's,
no matter where they need to trade to go
okay. to. So if there is a, well, let's just say it this way. If there's a trade by anybody to two, isn't it for Scoot?
It sounds like it, yes.
Okay. And if it's New Orleans, and this gets into the whole Zion Williamson thing, talk about missing games. Zion Williamson has played 114 basketball games out of a total possible 328, if my math is correct, in four seasons. I'm told that's not good. Yet, when he actually plays the sport of basketball, he is elite. Are you really trading him?
Thank you, Gil.
Someone needed to say that?
Someone needs to say that.
Thank you.
Like, it is, if you watch that Pelicans team at the beginning of this year, they were a top 10 offensive and defensive team. This guy is an amazing talent, and oh, wait, he's only 22 years old still? We're all acting like Zion Williamson is a complete bust. Even if you want to rag on Anthony Davis for all the time he's missed with injuries, has he got a ring, Gil? Pretty sure he's got a ring, right? He's got a ring.
Yeah.
Zion could, if you can win one championship in Zion's career, is that a failure or a success? I would say it's a success, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but everybody's talking about this guy like he's the walking dead and that you can't even play him now.
So what are the best – we'll get to Zion, I guess. We have so much to say about him. But for the point at hand about the bets, would you bet Scoot to go number two right now at like minus 135?
No, I wouldn't. I would not. I think – okay, this is me just guessing, okay? Because these are – obviously reports are going on everywhere. We know the Pelicans are interested reportedly. The Hornets are having both these guys in for workouts and we're blown away by both of them in their workouts, okay? What I think is going to happen is that – what I think's happening right now is the Hornets are doing everything they can to make everybody believe that they would take Scoot Henderson so someone serves up a trade that they cannot possibly pass on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll trade out at two and let whoever goes there to go get Scoot.
Does Brandon Miller then absolutely go three?
I don't think it's absolute, but I think yes. I think Brandon Miller goes three and Damian Lillard stays in Portland.
Cam Whitmore to go exactly fifth is what price right now?
About even money, but I'm hating that bet as the days go on because it sounds like he's going to be five or four. If you have the bankroll, bet him top five.
All right, we have three more days to talk about this. A lot of uncertainty. We'll see if it gets cleared up in the next couple days. Wes Reynolds joins us next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $19. At VSiN.com/subscribe. So does Matt Brown on the VSiN.com/picks page. Is Matt Brown going to be up 95 units? Like, he's definitely leading for the next week, right?
With like the 2-10-1 record or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was that one week where someone was 1-10 and they were at the top because they had hit the outright.
It's always a golf outright at the top. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I was like 10-1 in tennis and then I just drop off.
You're like fourth. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Loser.
Didn't hit a golf outright. Speaking of golf outrights, this man hits them like nobody. Though this week at the U.S. Open, let's just say he was the bridesmaid with Rory. He also had Ricky Fowler. He's the glue that holds this whole operation together. Co-host of VSiN Tonight, which he does with Matt Humans, is Wes Reynolds, everybody. How you doing, Wes?
Good morning, Gil. How are you?
Doing very well, man. So let me just ask this, because I was talking about how, you know, Rory was smack right up to the lead on the doorstep really for 4 days, it felt like, and really three more accurately, but it felt like for 4 days. And there was no point, as close as he was, you would think, oh, well, you got to consider a Rory in tournament bet here. And at no point did I ever think to myself, I think he's going to win this thing. Did you, as a guy who had him pre-flop, did you in your heart of hearts feel like he was going to get it done ever?
I did a little bit because he really didn't fall off. He hasn't done what he did the last two Sundays when he was right in the mix at the Memorial in the final group and then gave some back. Did the same thing when he was in contention at the RBC Canadian Open last weekend, but he never really dropped off this time. He kept hitting the tee shots beautifully. Nobody drove the ball better than he did all weekend long. And he just didn't make any putts the last 2 days, especially on Sunday. He had some makeable putts as he was starting to make the turn on the front nine and then going into the back nine and just didn't make anything and, wasn't able to put the pressure on because when we got to the middle of the Sunday round, you kind of felt like, well, I don't think Clark is going to give it back to him. Rory's going to have to go get him, even though Clark did kind of leak a little oil at the end there on 17. And then that drive on 18, if that was the course that they played on at Southern Hills where Mito Pereira hit that drive was going to be way out of bounds. But that fairway is so wide at 18 that Clark was able to get it home and get it done. But yeah, Rory, I don't think Rory, now people will have the narrative that he choked. I don't think he necessarily did. I just think he got beat.
Yeah, he didn't choke. He just couldn't hit a putt to save his life. And we've all played golf and had those. I mean, obviously there are hack golfers, but there are days where you're like, I might be able to make some putts. And then there are just other days where you're like, none of these are going in. And I promise you none of these are going in. And it just sort of felt that way with Rory. He definitely didn't choke, but he didn't make the charge. What about Ricky Fowler? I said earlier, after two rounds, he had 18 birdies in the first 36 holes, and he was only up one stroke. And I was like, I don't think he's winning after that. Kelly asked earlier, and I think this is the real question about him moving forward, as a guy who looked like, I mean, there was a David Duval moment there for Ricky Fowler where you thought this guy's going to drop off the face of golf. And now he has worked himself right back into this kind of tournament, a major where he's in contention. Do you feel like this is going to be a one-off where he'll look back and be like, well, that was my chance, and he'll never really flirt with this again? Or do you feel like this is a portent of things to come with Ricky?
No, I think you should take it as a net positive if you're a Ricky Fowler fan, because that's why I played him last week, is because he'd been showing consistency, even though he hadn't been right there in the mix to win. But he had been gradually and progressively getting better. Top 20s, top 15s, top 10s, has played consistent golf really all season. And a lot of that, I think, is getting back with Butch Harmon, his longtime coach, and getting rid of all those swing changes he tried to do and just getting back to basics. The problem yesterday for Ricky, I think, was kind of twofold. Number one, from a fundamental standpoint, he was short with about every club in the bag. He was hanging on to it. He wasn't releasing on the back end of the swing. So that's why he was short on a lot of those approach shots yesterday. And then secondly, this is a guy that really hasn't been right there to win in about 3 years. So when you hadn't been in the mix in a while and you're in that position, all of a sudden it becomes relatively unfamiliar territory, at least in the short term. And I think he kind of saw that with Ricky yesterday. But look, all of a sudden, he's kind of back in the mix, moving up in the Ryder Cup point standings, and certainly he's in better form than a lot of the guys that you would assume would be on that team later this fall. But I think, and by and large, you should take it as a net positive for Ricky. Just, hey, I got my scar tissue here. I was back in the mix again, didn't get it done, didn't get the win, but I think he should take a lot of positives from this week.
No question he should take positives, but you believe it's sustainable, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think he's going to be, I don't know if he's going to contend every single week like a Scottie Scheffler does, but I think that he's closer to a win than he has been in about 3 years.
So here's the other question that everybody likes to ask. I know I'm certainly guilty of it or certainly am part of this after specifically the majors, but there's always, and the reason that you and Matt and Kelly have been so successful betting golf, and by the way, long shots for those who are unaware, is the name of the podcast. Brady Cannon started it, and these three gentlemen do such a wonderful job each and every week. The success rate of your outrights is just off the charts. It's unbelievable. And so I know you do things primarily through modeling, but you're also human beings. And I just want to know that, while the success has a lot to do with, fealty to those numbers, At what point with some of these guys are you like, well, the numbers say I should be betting player X to win this outright, but I just don't trust him? Do you have a don't trust list at this point, Wes, as far as outrights are concerned?
It's starting to accumulate a little bit. Xander Schauffele, actually, is a guy who I really like and I think is a really good player, but you kind of saw it over the weekend. Mm-hmm. He always is priced at a certain range. He's always priced at, like, in the low 20s or maybe 25, and it's like he needs a little bit more win equity for the talent that he has. He needs a little more win equity, and I need to see mid-30s on this guy. Patrick Cantlay is slowly making his way onto that list, although, you know, he is number four in the world. But Patrick Cantlay, yet again, it was the same thing at the PGA, gets a little bit too far back, then starts out, has a really good charge. It's like, okay, there goes Patrick Cantlay making the charge again when he's way too far back for it to make a difference. So, yeah, you got to not only look at the numbers, but you got to go kind of with your intuition and your results and what you've seen, compare it to the market. So, yeah, there's some guys that are ranked real high in those official world golf rankings, like Cantlay and Schauffele, that just don't win as much as they should.
Just don't win as much as they should. And just, you know, for again, I'll say it, I had a top 10 on Schauffele, and he ends up dead heating it, and you lose money on it. Like, it's just so frustrating with some of these guys. Okay. The Open Championship remains in terms of majors. The newish golf major schedule from a couple years ago, where the PGA is no longer last, but it's second after the Masters in terms of the calendar. The Open Championship, have you made any wagers yet? Rory is your short shot at plus 750 at DraftKings. John Rahm, 9-1, and there's Scottie Scheffler at 10-1.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just bet Scottie Scheffler top 10 like I did for the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. And it's like now I'm just betting him top 10 every single time, considering he has not finished worse than 12th in any event here in the calendar year of 2023. But, yeah, I was a little bit surprised that Rory might not have been 10-1. I guess I shouldn't have been, considering he won his last major at Valhalla in 2014 at the PGA. But the last time the Open was at Royal Liverpool, where it will be later this summer, he actually won. And who was second right behind him, T2, was Ricky Fowler. So both of those guys are going to be very popular plays. And, you know, you just look, it's hard to believe it's almost been 9 years since Rory McIlroy has won a major, because it's not like he's fallen off the map. It's not like he's not won consistently around the world. He just has had this major championship drought, and that happens.
It happens. It happens. And for, like you said, that's the amazing thing is exactly that he is knocking at the door all the time. But Scottie Scheffler top 10 in every tournament, and certainly in every major, is there a better bet in all of sports betting? There isn't.
Probably that one, and probably Xander Schauffele for top 20s. I know that we've been doing that frequently on long shots. He's been a cash machine in the top 20 range, and so is Scottie Scheffler, even when he's kind of off. Even though his putter actually was a little bit better this week than certainly it has been all season. But, yeah, that's just almost the automatic to play him in the top 10.
Okay, so your bets in pocket for the Open so far are then, real quick, 10 seconds?
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet. Okay.
Over the next couple weeks.
Okay, all right. Stay tuned to Long Shots for all of those. Wes is more on the other side, where we just pepper Wes with all kinds of sports and sports betting questions, and maybe a little off the grid as well. He's kind enough to field all the ground balls. It's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. And ladies and gentlemen, by popular demand, it's the return of Wes's More with Wes Reynolds. Oh, look at that.
Wes is More.
Wow. How about that, Wes? You got your own intro.
Come on, Gil. Who is really demanding this?
Oh, the people, Wes. The people. You know the people. All right, Wes, you ready to field some ground balls?
All right, let's go. Hopefully I don't botch them.
Okay, I think you'll be good. Let's start with baseball. Would you bet the Reds to win the NL Central right now? Half game out.
You know, obviously you've lost some price if you didn't do it maybe a couple weeks ago, but this division is so random. And at one point I thought, you know, the Cardinals are always the Cardinals. Maybe they're coming back. I don't think they're coming back. I don't like this manager, Oliver Marmol. I don't know if he is going to even last the season. This team has been bad. I did not expect that they were. I thought they'd be down, but not this down. But yeah, look, the Reds got some momentum, and Ellie De La Cruz, I think, has given this team some energy. And all of a sudden, this young team that doesn't know that they're supposed to be bad are playing well. It's kind of like default. The Brewers are the more experienced team, but why not? Anybody can win this division, maybe except for the Cardinals.
Reds plus 550 at DraftKings to win the NL Central. Same question about the Giants. They're plus 450 now, speaking about losing some price, to win the NL West, 3.5 out. Would you bet them?
Yeah, look, you got to give credit to this team because this team really struggled to start the season. They couldn't hit at all, even though the pitching staff is very solid. But all of a sudden, it found a little power. But I'm still a believer in the Diamondbacks, Gil. They've been even exceeded my expectations because I thought they were going to be better than they were projected. But this is a team that I thought would struggle to manufacture runs. And, you know, Corbin Carroll, the front runner right now for NL Rookie of the Year. And this team, you know, is just knocking the cover off the ball, even though they got knocked around by the Guardians yesterday.
Luis Arraez is hitting .388. Will he get back to .400 at any point this season? And if he finishes at .400 or more, will he win the MVP of the National League?
I don't believe he will get back. He does play for the Miami Marlins, which doesn't exactly give him a lot of protection in the lineup. So I tend to think that he's not approaching four bills again.
Aliens, are they real?
I'm willing to say that they are. I know that that's been a topic of discussion here in Las Vegas, that there was some kind of story about that. So I'm willing to think that there's something out there.
Some kind of story. They were inside of a person, if you're to believe the accounts. Inside of him.
Wes also not listed on the odds board for
Wes Reynolds not listed.
He'll be abducted.
Yeah, who will be abducted first? Yeah. Okay. Will Zion be traded on draft day or beforehand? And who will, in fact, go second, regardless of who picks there in the NBA draft on Thursday?
I tend to think it's going to be Scoot Henderson. I know there's been some buzz on Brandon Miller, and he's the guy really up there, the kid from Alabama, that a lot of teams are trying to trade up for, including my Indiana Pacers. So they're trying to trade up for this guy. So there is a possibility. I tend to think it's still going to be Scoot going number two. And the first question was about Zion. I don't know if he's going to be traded. And I don't know really what the market is for him out there. I'm sure there is a market for him, but the bloom has come off the rose, so to speak.
Yeah, if we just knew he was, if you could just tell me if he was going to play or not, that would really be the key to all of that. All right, who's winning the College World Series?
I think it's going to be LSU.
Ooh, LSU.
Wake Forest looks like the best team, I think, clearly. But and LSU certainly has a little bit of concern in that bullpen, but we have not had a number one overall seed win since 1998. I think that was the U that won that year. So LSU would be my lean as of right now, even though they're getting bet against pretty heavily against Wake Forest this afternoon.
Yes, they absolutely are. All right, Michael Malone's NBA parade performance, NBA championship parade performance in Denver. Funny or cringy?
Probably a little bit of both. It certainly wasn't as funny as Wild Bill Carlson's was on Saturday night here in Las Vegas. That was an all-timer, Gil.
The quote on Michael Malone, Kelly, in case you missed it, if you're scoring at home, "We running it back, baby." Think he goes home and tells his wife that? Talks to her that way? I don't think so. Better chance at the Travelers this week in golf. JT coming off a north of 80 performance or a drunken Wyndham Clark celebrating still?
A drunken Wyndham Clark celebrating still. I don't know what's going on with Justin Thomas. This guy, you know, you kind of figured, okay, he's with Bowens McKay, who was longtime bagman from Phil Mickelson, that they're going to figure it out. And he just hasn't figured it out. I think he's battling a shoulder injury. I think there's probably something to that. But there's something going on between the ears there, too, because maybe he needs a visit with Bob Rotella or to the legendary sports psychologist in the game of golf. But he needs to do something because he's just absolutely nowhere right now. When you saw that he was 50-1, it's like, oh, man, Justin Thomas, do I got to bet him at 50-1? No, you don't have to, because there's a reason why he was 50-1.
Since you bring up William Carlson, the Vegas Golden Knights, Stanley Cup champions, is this the beginning of what is more likely, the beginning of a dynasty or them being mired after this deal with the devil for 10 horrible years of hockey?
Well, I think it's probably going to be in the middle of that, actually, because I think they'll still be a contender. But look, you're going to get in a set, you know, you got to pay the price to win these championships and to win these Stanley Cups. And all of a sudden you get constrained against the cap and can you keep everybody together and whatnot. So a lot of those guys that you saw on the stage, there are going to be a few of them that aren't going to be here. Once the afterglow of the Stanley Cup kind of subsides, then you got to make some really hard financial decisions.
All right. Final question of Wes's More is actually a two-parter. It is June 19th, never too early to talk football. And the whole network is all football for every show next week. Here's the question. Wes Reynolds' most conventional football opinion, a couple months out from the beginning, a few months out almost, from the beginning of the NFL season. And what is your most unconventional opinion, whether on a team, a player, or whatever? At this point,
most conventional opinion is that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to return to the Super Bowl. I just think that they're the most talented team. I think they got a little bit of taste of it and they got some pain. Now they're going to want more. I think Hurts is going to continue to develop. They drafted well. They've just their offensive line is one of the best in the league. Their defensive line is one of the best in the league. And when you're the best in the trenches, you're going to be one of the main contenders. So I think the Eagles are going back to the Super Bowl. And I guess unconventional, I mean, I guess not totally unconventional. A couple division winners as underdogs that I do like. I like the Tennessee Titans in the AFC South. Mm. I know everybody likes the Jaguars, but the Titans had the most games missed to injury last year. I don't think that they're done yet. They look like a team in transition because Ryan Tannehill is in the last year of his deal. But I like Tennessee kind of in that underdog role, a little bit under the radar to win the AFC South. And in the NFC South, a lot of people are pointing to New Orleans because they have the most established quarterback and proven quarterback with Derek Carr. But I like the Dirty Birds. I like the Atlanta Falcons. I think that Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, their general manager down there in the ATL, they finally have started to work this team out of salary cap hell because, of course, they had the long-term deal with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and had a lot of money tied up with those guys. I like what they did. They were one of the best teams at running the ball last year. Desmond Ridder, I think, showed a little spark in his final four games of the season, went 2-2 as a starter. So I like the ATL in the NFC South.
Wow. Titans and Falcons, division winners for this upcoming NFL season from Wes Reynolds. Wes, hey, listen, I know you used to win in outrights, and this time you only ended up with a second place finish. I'm sure you'll be back in the outright chair very soon. Appreciate you spending the time, man.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Wes Reynolds, everybody. At Wes Reynolds 1, that's the number one. And of course, the co-host, along with Matt Brown and young Kelly Bidlin on Long Shots. How many Long Shots promos have we had on this show today, by the way?
I don't know. Not enough.
Not enough?
Catch Matt and Wes probably in a kind of awkward podcast later today. And then we're back tomorrow, baby. 2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right on the desk.
So you're not with him, so it becomes awkward? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't know. I just feel, you know, it's always like, hey, good for you, but I hope you lost. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
When you have the second place guy.
That's true.
As someone who cashes second places.
Lombardi Line next. Enjoy.